Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. An app only.
D1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After a 71-70 loss to number 12 North Carolina Saturday in the CBS Sports Classic from Atlanta, 8-3 Ohio State welcomes 5-6 Grambling at 2. Buckeyes head coach Jake Diebler on his keys for the matchup, saying that his team will need to protect the paint, protect the ball against a strong Grambling State team. Coverage on The Fan starts at 1 with a fan warm-up show. NHL Blue Jackets beat the Kings 3-1 Monday. 3 days after being dealt from the Kraken, Mason Marshman scored 2 power play goals. He has 3 tallies in his first 2 games with the CBJ. NFL Browns defensive end Myles Garrett and corner Denzel Ward were named to the Pro Bowl. Bengals' Jamar Chase earned a 6th career nod. Ohio teams in bowl games today. Toledo and Louisville in the Boca Raton Bowl at 2. Ohio and UNLV in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl tonight at 9. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan. Ohio Sports Dash Nation.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. On the board is TLC. And to my right today, ladies and gentlemen, for our guy, AR, is our man, Dave Biddle. Bids, welcome in. It has been way too long. Happy holidays. How you doing, man? You good?
Happy holidays to you, Iceman. And this is like a blast from the past. We're going to do the Hour of Power here.
Yeah.
I texted you earlier. Man, we have a marathon show
we gotta grind
today.
Yeah.
We got Cole at the controls. This is going to be a fun show. But yeah, happy holidays to you guys.
Yeah, Cole, how we feeling today, my man? You good over there?
Good. I'm over here just trying to debate if I look like Logan Paul or not.
You know, Logan Paul popped up on First Take. You know, we were out there kind of just shooting the you-know-what before the show. And I said, Cole, and I've mentioned this to you before. I have mentioned this to you before that I think you got a little Logan Paul.
You have said that before, yeah.
You're kind of dark hair, brunette hair. He's got the blonde hair. I think if you went blonde hair, there'd be a little bit more Logan Paul going on. You really didn't love that. You didn't really want to embrace it. Is it because of who Logan Paul is? You don't want to be attached to that? Is that what this is?
No, I just said that's kind of an all white boys look alike type of comment, to be honest with you.
No, it's not that.
Jacob Elordi. Now, I didn't know who Jacob Elordi was until people started telling me I looked like him, but I looked, apparently he's in the show Euphoria. I did not see that show, but
yes,
that is the comp that I've been getting for the past like 3 years.
Now that
as recently as like 3 weeks ago.
So watching Euphoria, there is some of that in there as well, for sure. It's like, so we've gone Chet Holmgren with him, Logan Paul with him, the kid from Euphoria with him. Jack Harlow's been brought up. That was because of your voice one day.
I know three of the four.
Yeah,
I know three of the four names there.
The
Jake Paul thing. It's like, same facial structure. You guys don't necessarily look alike, in my opinion, but I see what Maddie's saying because I see that same facial structure.
There's some stuff there.
And he's got a good facial structure, there, so I think you should take it as
a
positive.
Compliment. I think it's a compliment.
I will do just that.
There it is.
who do you guys get as celebrity lookalikes?
I really have never been.
Have you ever gotten one? Let's be honest here. Have you ever gotten one from a white person where you're like, you do not know what you're talking about?
No, I haven't.
Like something just like way off?
Nobody's really ever attached me to any celebrity lookalike, ever. I promise you, nothing.
Nothing?
No, I'm being serious.
I had one for you like a couple months ago, and it slipped my mind. Just I thought of it one time. I saw somebody on the screen. I'm like, that kind of looks like Matty Ice. Just
some of my friends clown me and say I'll be Cedric the Entertainer in like 30 years. Like they see some of that.
Do they not know your diet?
Wow. That's only when he's eating, the very few times he's eating chicken wings, they say. Then he's eating broccoli. I don't even watch the show, never watch the show. But I got so many times people saying I look like Negan from The Walking Dead?
Okay. Okay.
And I had to look it up. He's older than me, but I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll take
that's
it.
A good compliment.
But I kept hearing it from like so many.
Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So yes. I was like, I'll take it. I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, God, he's going to be even like uglier than I am. It's like, no, he's actually a good looking guy.
I think I'll take it with that, bitch.
Yeah, I think that's a starting point. I think there's got to be somebody out there better who's closer to you. I think that's a good starting point for the conversation. Okay. As far as
good stuff. Maybe somebody in the chat will have a look like for me.
Oh, gosh. Let's open it up to the YouTubers.
Let's be careful with that.
Shout out to everybody in the chat.
He looks like Charlie Weiss. Junior? No, senior.
Oh, man. So, yes, Dave Biddle in the house, a.k.a. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, rocking out with us today. We're only here until the top of the hour. Buckeye basketball, they've got a game today against Grambling. We'll get you ready for the fan warm-up show. Brandon Beam will hop in here and do his thing and do a great job. As always, bottom of the hour, we'll talk to our guy Brad Crawford, who does a great job covering college football for CBS. I know you know him well.
Yes.
Looking forward to getting his thoughts on the first round of the playoff, what's coming up next, Ohio State's opponent, and all of that. Did want to get to this, though, Bid. Some Buckeye kind of recruiting news going on, because a very interesting story was unfolding over the last couple of weeks, right? And you went back, and the Chris Henry thing popped off, and it was kind of like, okay, things were dicey. And then there was a receiver or two that did decommit and go elsewhere when Hartline was named the new head coach at USF. But one of the, I think, odd/sad stories of recruiting that we saw over the last couple of weeks was the Legend Bay deal, right? And how it seemed like there was some real pull on the family side. Maybe I think his mom and his brother that wanted him to stay down there in Tennessee. And from everything that you can follow from Legend Bay on social media and kind of just his vibe about the whole process, he did not want to be there. He wanted to be here in Columbus, but this has now become official, Dave, that four-star offensive playmaker Legend Bay is officially a Buckeye.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I feel bad for the kid. Like, he wanted to be a Buckeye, as you said, Matty, and sounds like his mom kind of went rogue a little bit.
Yeah.
And be one thing if it was, like, they're from Knoxville, she wants him to stay home. Like, I always am, like, take the side of, like, when people get mad about, well, the kid should have the decision. Yes, but mom should be involved, right? But this is different. He's from Texas. It's not like he'd be staying home. It's almost as long from where they live to the University of Tennessee as it is to Columbus. Not quite as long, but that's just a strange one, man. I you know, we've seen so many crazy recruiting stories over the years, like dozens upon dozens, maybe hundreds upon hundreds. This has like a fighting chance to be number one. It's at least top 10 of anything I've seen.
It's very different. And, you know, it speaks to, I think, the NIL world that we're in, and maybe I don't know the money that he was being offered at Tennessee or here. I have to imagine on both sides it was pretty darn good. And maybe the family on that side felt stronger about the financials down there. Either way, this is a big win for Ryan Day, right? Because you have Chris Henry coming in next year. You'll have Legend Bay coming in. From what you've heard, is it kind of like an H-back-ish role, like a Curtis Samuel type of guy, or more of a true wide receiver guy that they're going to be getting?
Maybe a slot, unless Ryan adopts, because Ryan's kind of gotten rid of the Jalen Marshall, Dontre Wilson, Curtis Samuel. Great. Yeah, great. He's probably the best. I thought Jalen Marshall was underrated, but Curtis Samuel was so good in that role. He could be a slot receiver, but they did use it a little bit with Ryan Day. I'm contradicting myself a little bit here with Xavier Johnson. Mm-hmm. I see Legend Bay maybe being and Xavier was a heck of a good player, especially considering the fact he was a former walk-on. I see him being like a better version of that.
Yeah.
So they have used it a little bit, but not as much. I mean, Urban like majored in it. Ryan can minor in it a little bit. So yeah, Legend's going to be a guy that can play in the slot. You know, maybe if they break out that H-back, he can do some of that stuff. But it's exciting. This, even with Hartline leaving, man, it just it's crazy. I mean, is there even a close second as far as, like, what he was able to do recruiting? Like, 1 year after another, he's bringing in five stars. And he's not just bringing in five stars. He's developing them into stars. Not just developing them into stars. Developing them into guys who take the NFL by storm right away as rookies.
Yep.
And Smith and Jigba's a rookie. Look at what he's doing this year. It's unbelievable. Olave. I mean, just go down the list. Yep. Abuka might be rookie of the year. Maybe, you know, second. So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, the Legend Bay situation, I think he will be. He's a guy they're going to move around. Hopefully he returns kicks. It feels like they don't put enough emphasis on return men. You know, maybe he can be like Ohio State's version of Malachi Toney.
That'll work. That dude's special.
He is. He really is
special.
Let's make sure we don't punt the ball. No, like, line drive punts down the middle of the field to that dude.
Yeah, he is he's a different cat. And sometimes you never know just with the recruiting stuff how quickly it's going to translate. But we've seen around the country the last few years, freshmen come in at that position and be very impactful. We saw it, obviously, here with Jeremiah. You saw it last year with Bama, with Ryan Williams this year. I mean, the drops have been crazy to see. And then down there in Miami, you mentioned Malachi Toney, who we'll be talking about a lot in the next few days leading up to the game in Dallas. Chris Henry, I'll tell you what, man, like, caught a couple of his games on ESPN, on national TV this year, and it's different. It is absolutely different when you watch what he can do out there on the field, and you just think about the attention that Jeremiah is obviously going to be getting game in and game out next year, and some opportunities for some of these young guys to come in and play opposite of Jeremiah Smith, because Carnell Tate, I think, is going to go into the NFL and do his thing. I know some Browns fans may have their eye on him because they need some help in that wide receiver room. But yeah, I mean, the trust I think these guys have in Ryan Day and his system is showing itself with the recruiting and how that's settled kind of post the Brian Hartline announcement, because to your point, it's the guys in the NFL, what they're doing, but it's what these guys are watching right now. And inside of this offense, you're just going to have a real chance to succeed because the ball's going to be up in the air and the ball's going to be coming from elite quarterbacks more times than not.
No doubt about it. Yeah, that's another thing. It's been one thing after another with Ryan Day with quarterbacks. And that's the thing he's able to sell to these guys. Like, listen, yeah, Brian Hartline, great. Best in the business at recruiting wide receivers and developing them, coaching up wide receivers. But this is my offense, is what he's telling the kids. He's not going to go out there at press conferences, and rightfully so. He's a good man. He's not going to throw Brian Hartline under the bus and say things that I believe are true. Like, I was actually calling most of the plays in big games anyway this year. Ryan Day's not going to say that, but I have sources that I trust profusely that say that was the case. So nothing really changes for this year's team. In fact, Brian's still going to be with the team at least through the next game. We'll see if they win. It'll be interesting, Maddie, because of the schedule, because the portal opens 2 days after the game, really the day after the game, because by the time that game ends, it's going to be past midnight. We're going to be into 2026. But so I wonder, there's been some talk out there that Hartline will be the OC through this game, won't call plays. Ryan Day will call plays, but maybe then he'll move on if they win. I don't know. I tend to think he's just going to stick around. He can walk and chew gum because it's not like he's the one, as I just said, he's not going to be calling plays. Yeah. He's basically just wide receiver coach during the playoffs. So my guess is he'll stay along for the entire ride, but some people have said maybe because of the portal and everything, he'll just, if they beat Miami, will then just go to USF. But listen, I just think it doesn't affect this team much at all in the CFP. I think that definitely affected them, Maddie, in the Big Ten championship game. Just all the differentness. It wasn't just Brian taking the job. It wasn't just the Chris Henry situation. It was all of that. It was all
of pieces,
of that.
Yeah.
Coming off the Michigan game where that was just a huge weight off their shoulders. You add it all up. Are these excuses? Yeah, I'm making excuses. But when you add up all those,
yeah.
I think it was legit. But I feel pretty good about this. And about their run, but like Miami is a super talented team. I was pretty convinced they were better than A&M, but which is easy to say now. But I was thinking, well, the game's at Kyle Field, which was a great environment. But this is going to be an interesting game. But I'm pretty confident Ohio State's going to win. This is the number one defense in the country the Buckeyes have, and if they don't give up stuff like punt returns to Tony for touchdowns, I think the Buckeyes are going to take care of business.
Yeah, and we saw what Miami would like to do, and I think that they want to punch you in the mouth with the run game until, you know, that dam breaks eventually. And Carson Beck, you just never know what Beck's showing up to the party, right? One day you see him, he can look like a top five pick. One day you see him, you feel like, hey, that guy might not even get drafted. And to your point about this defense and their ability to just travel everywhere and be dominant in every single game, it's tough to just find areas of weakness against this defense. And you're talking about a rested defense too. Now guys have been able to get, you know, off their feet for a little bit and get healthier if you need it. And so just playmakers on every single level, and with the linebackers and what they're able to do with Styles and Arvell Reese, slowing down run games has been a strength for this team, amongst a lot of strengths for them. And Matt Patricia, you're giving him more time to tighten the screws on a team and look at some of the things Texas A&M did. And yeah, we'll not be surprised again if it's a dominant performance for both the offense and the defense. We'll see about special teams, because you know this time of year you got to bring all three phases to the field, and that came back to bite them over there in Indy. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, we'll get into the AFC North. We got an official announcement on what's next for DK Metcalf, and one ESPN analyst has an interesting take about where things could be headed in Baltimore. That's next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I need a small or...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Your family might not listen to you, but we will. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
You're welcome.
This holiday season.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Responsibly. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will see patchy drizzle for us today. Otherwise cloudy to mostly cloudy skies and mild with highs in the low 50s and gusty winds out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows right around freezing. And then for Christmas Eve on Wednesday, partly sunny and still mild with highs in the mid 40s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, before we get into some Pre-Snap Reads, let me talk to you folks about Bet365, because it's a great place to be if you're a new customer and just overall if you're looking to bet. For new customers right now, all you have to do is go over and bet $5. Soon after that, you will get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines. Bids, I'm looking at some of the Christmas Day NFL games. Anytime touchdowns in this one, in the Lions-Vikings game. Justin Jefferson has not scored a touchdown in a long, long
time. Ooh, I love those bets when somebody is due.
Yes. So I'm going to look at Justin Jefferson in this one at plus 160. The Detroit Lions secondary has been a little dicey this year. You've been able to get after them. I think it's time for him to get after it. And so, y'all go plus 160 for Justin Jefferson to touch some paint. Your three games on Christmas Day real quick, 1 o'clock. You'll get Cowboys, Washington, Detroit, Minnesota, and then Denver and Kansas City. So kind of an kind of schedule for Christmas this week with the Mahomes injury going on. But that Detroit-Minnesota game will be a good one, and then we'll see whatever happens in Dallas and Washington. Dallas officially eliminated from the playoffs, and no Jaden Daniels. So kind of light as far as star power this year on Christmas Day, but it's football. You know, we'll all be locked in regardless.
And if you're in your fantasy football championship game, these will be championship
no doubt about
games.
It. No doubt about it.
I know
it.
Fantasy football's taking a hit with legalized sports gambling. But I still do both.
I love it, man.
I still love it. Okay, good.
Yeah, I got bounced this past weekend, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I still love this. I'll be back next year. I'm a sucker every year.
It's fun. I mean, yeah. I mean, people are like, well, why would you do that when you can just bet on the game? Well, you can do both.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
So when we left yesterday, we did not have a ruling from the NFL when it comes to one DK Metcalf. Had the kind of dust up, if you will, with the Fan up in Detroit. And a he said story going on where DK's saying the guy called him some stuff he shouldn't have been saying about him and his mom. And the Fan is saying all I did was call him by his government name. Well, really kind of the only evidence I think the NFL needed was DK's actions and the swipe that he took at the Fan. And it looks like the punch he tried to land with that Fan leaning over the balcony. And so now we know that he's going to be suspended for 2 games. He will appeal this suspension. Maybe this thing gets knocked down to a game. We see that around the NFL, but it's hard for me to see why they would knock this down to a game. Next 2 games, bids for the Steelers at Cleveland and home against Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a good point, Maddie. I was thinking initially he'd get suspended for 1 game. I would have been surprised if he didn't get suspended. And then unless they were able to prove, yes, not that this would excuse, but if they're able to prove this guy was shouting like racial slurs at him, I know still against the rules to punch a Fan who's doing that, but that would be a heck of a lot more understandable if they could prove that. So I was thinking, okay, he'll probably get 1 game. When he got 2, I was like, okay. To your point, though, the only way I could see it getting reduced is if they're like, well, we made it two just so we had a little wiggle room there to make it one, and the punch didn't land. Good thing for DK that punch didn't land. He would have been done for probably the rest of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. And so big game for your Steelers, TLC. I believe you guys can lock up the North with this win against Cleveland this week.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And so I guess we'll have to see how our offensive line. Our offensive line was awesome this past week. Like, out of character awesome. So I don't think that's going to be the norm, especially against a very stout Browns defensive line. But the good thing about playing the Browns is you don't have to score that many points.
True that. True that.
How about Gainwell just gets touchdowns like he got? Gainwell's been a great pickup for them. Man, my gosh.
The funny thing is, I was so excited about the draft pick of Caleb Johnson out of Iowa.
Yeah. Right.
We don't need him at all.
No. I thought that was a good pick, too. I took him in one of my fantasy leagues, like in the seventh round, and I was thinking, put steal, championship.
Exactly.
Not so much.
We go Derek Hartman round one. We spent our second round pick on DK Metcalf, and Caleb Johnson was round three. Mm-hmm. So, basically, kind of a quiet draft. Derek Harmon's missed a few games. He came back for the Detroit game.
Got Jack Sawyer, though.
And
Will Howard, which eventually will prove to be a franchise quarterback for you. I say that. Maybe I say that tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I mean, Adam King did say on this show pre-draft that Will Howard was going to win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback.
I was like, he might win one this year. Quarterback.
Quarterback can win a Super Bowl if you feel like that.
It would be like Mike Tomczak's rookie year. Yeah, I'm old. Going back to the Bears in 85, Mike Tomczak's rookie year with the Chicago Bears, Super Bowl champion.
I can't wait to see what the Steelers do this offseason at the quarterback position. I just because they're not going to be picking high enough to get one of the good guys.
Run it back.
Which is where they are every year.
Run it back with
one more year with Aaron. Or, I mean, they might look, depending on what happens in Arizona, is Kyler Murray going to become available? I don't think any Steeler fan is going to want to touch Tua. I don't think that's going to be something they want. And so,
not Joe Kyler, Flacco. Don't even.
I think Kyler would be a better option.
Joe Flacco?
You would take Kyler over Tua, right?
Halfway, maybe.
Okay, yeah, you would have to take Kyler.
There have been a couple Joe Flacco games that I've really enjoyed this year.
Don't do it to yourself.
There have been a couple.
Don't do it to yourself.
What about Jake Browning?
Philip Rivers, please?
That game last night was crazy. Brock Purdy was popping off. And then Rivers, he knocked the rust off, man. He looked pretty good.
Yes.
The craziest part of this entire game. What's up, Reimer? The craziest part of this entire game was that Philip Rivers didn't have enough help. They had no run game, and the defense didn't get a single stop until 4:37 left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mentioned it yesterday, too. This Niners team, man.
They haven't punted in December yet.
No, they have not. I mean, and they know what it takes to go on these runs. They do. And so Purdy, all year he was injured. Mac Jones stepped in, and Purdy looks locked back in. And look, with CMC, all things are possible on offense because that dude can do anything and everything that you want a running back to do. Real quick, Bits, I want to ask you this. As a Bengals fan, there's just been a lot going on with your team. Just going back to the offseason with Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart and just all of that. And now here we are, Joey B. How did you feel as a Bengals fan about the I'm not having fun, kind of I lost my joy comments from him? How did that land with you as a fan?
Wasn't surprising because he's always been like that. He's always been one of these guys that like just speaks his mind. I think back when he was at Ohio State and he went, which is very prescient on his behalf, he said that, you know, he was going out to Thurman Burger and somebody wanted to buy him like a fan song. I'm like, oh, you know, Thurman Cafe. Yeah. And they were like, oh, well, let's buy, we'll pick up the tab. And they couldn't do it at the time. This is like what, like 2017, 2018, around there before NIL. And he went on like a long diatribe about that, and he was totally right. And there's been other instances I can give you. He says what's on his mind.
Which I like.
You know?
I like
and if that. He doesn't want to be honest with you, he'll just say, I'm not going to get into that. Like, he's pretty honest. So, I mean, how could you be having fun when you're out there? I mean, the offensive line's the best that he's had since he's been there, and they're still bad. He's got the worst defense in NFL history by some of the metrics. That sounds like hyperbole, right? I mean, there's the math that backs that up, that they might be the worst defense. So I can see why he's not having fun. But games like that will maybe springboard them into next year. I was joking with Cole. Like, we have a term for it in Cincinnati. I didn't come up with it. It's called the dead cat bounce. The Bengals will be eliminated from playoff contention. They look terrible. We're ready for that high draft pick. And they're like, now we're going to like look good.
Yeah, aftershock.
So no one's going to lose their job. Uh-huh. Everything's fine. Uh-huh. Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor, everything's good. The dead cat bounce happened.
There's some reporting out of, you know, Cincinnati, too. I think Paul Daner for The Athletic reported that Bengal fans better brace for not a lot of change.
I read that story.
He's throwing that out there that he feels in-house that
they're kind of comfortable with what's going on. I don't know how you could be when you have this quarterback, these playmakers, and you're in this window, but they're looking at some of the things that have kind of turned the page to some positive things, maybe on defense every once in a while, and Al Golden, do you want to make some change? So it doesn't sound like there's a lot of change coming for your team.
I did make the joke, which is now, I wish I wouldn't have called it a joke, when they made the Super Bowl, even after they lost, I said, well, Zach Taylor just bought himself a lifetime contract. Yeah. And I think he seriously, just by getting to the Super Bowl, I mean, Marvin Lewis, they kept him for 16 years.
Yeah.
He won how many playoff games? As many as you and me.
I know. And I think it could be easy for Mike Brown to look at, well, what he does well as an offensive coach isn't the problem. It's the other side of the ball, but it's also his decisions to get rid of Lou Anarumo, bring in Al Golden and all these things. But I think Duke Tobin as well. In the front office, how many draft picks are you watching on the defensive side of the ball where you're like, I like that guy. We can build around that guy. On offense right now in Cleveland, Browns fans are looking at the year and it's another crappy record and all that. But at least they can go into the offseason and know, we'll see what happens with Quinshon. But when he was right, he was a dude. Harold Fannin is a dude on defense for you guys right now. There's just not those draft picks that you're looking at, the Miles Murphys of the world. Those guys are just not bringing it like they should.
Dude, the Bengals sack leader is 5 sacks.
Yeah, and that's Joseph Osai, another like a kind of bad draft pick. They took him in the 3rd round. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. Like, a lot of times I'll take a guy like Shamar Stewart, and like every Bengal fan that I know, people on message boards, like, that was a terrible pick. Like, we shouldn't know that. Like, I remember being that we had a watch party for the draft this past year, and I was mad they took Shamar Stewart. And, you know, some of my friends will be like, yeah, you knew right away. How did the Bengals front office not know? I was like, I don't know. I didn't like the Dax Hill pick. I didn't like the Miles Murphy pick. Now, I will say Miles Murphy's turned it on a little bit lately, but you're right. Duke Tobin, I think, is the biggest culprit.
It's hard to hit on a whole bunch of draft picks, but you just look at what Philly did last year, right? When they dropped Quinyon Mitchell in there and Cooper DeJean into that defense as rookies that were ready to play right away for a team that was ready, then you're really in the mix where you should be. And the Bengals with that offense should be in the mix a lot more than where they have been the last couple of years. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll hop back into the college football playoff. Brad Crawford from CBS joins us next. It's Rothman and Ice.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Station.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Dave Biddle in the house today for our guy AR. Got to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bring on one of our favorites. Brad Crawford does an awesome job covering college football over at CBS Sports. Brad, happy holidays, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks so much for your time. Let's get right into it. Ohio State now, they'll lock horns with Miami. Obviously, this matchup will bring up a lot of nostalgia for Ohio State fans with that national championship years ago. But when you look at Miami, how they went about their business against Texas A&M, what are your thoughts on this matchup right now?
Yeah, probably one of the more physical teams Ohio State will have faced all season. Reuben Bain up front for the Hurricanes, one of the ACC's leaders. Acts at defensive end, Mark Fletcher, 175 yards rushing at Texas A&M. Carson Beck didn't have a great game against the Aggies, but he has had, you know, times in the spotlight where he's really performed well. He's also had times where if you can pressure Carson Beck, Arvel Reese and company for Ohio State, then you can force mistakes. So I'm expecting another competitive game. I know Miami's a 10 seed as the last team in that at-large designation, but talking to everybody in Miami this week, man, they believe they got a good shot to beat the Buckeyes.
Brad, you write like 100 stories a day, I think. So I imagine you've written a story about your predictions to win the national championship. Who do you have winning it all?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, Dave, I had Ohio State over Indiana. I still feel pretty good about that. This has been a down year in the SEC. I think the SEC likely, outside of this Georgia Ole Miss winner, will not have any more teams left after this second weekend. So Ohio State in a rematch, still beating Indiana.
Let's talk about this Oregon and Texas Tech game. This is one I'm really excited about outside of Ohio State and Miami. When you look at Tech and how they got to this point this season, how do you think they're going to match up with Dante Moore and company?
Yeah, it's just such a defensive-driven football team, man. I know, you know, we talk about how explosive the offense is and pass a game with Baron Morton there for Jordan McGuire, but defensively, they added so many pieces last cycle in the portal, and all of those five-star transfers have really, really played well. Then, of course, you got Jacob Rodriguez, who I thought should have been a linebacker Heisman finalist, who you know, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, kind of the heart and soul of that side of the ball. This is going to be one of the hardest units defensively Oregon has faced. Obviously, they had pretty much a layup in the first round. Still gave up 509 total yards to JMU. So if I'm Jordan McGuire and that offensive staff at Texas Tech, I'm kind of watching that film thinking, man, what did JMU do in the second half against Oregon to find so much success? Because if Texas Tech gets a lead in this game, it's going to be a wrap, and the Red Raiders are going to be moving on.
Ole Miss against Georgia. That's going to be maybe an interesting one. Georgia favored by 6.5. I mean, Ole Miss, Brad, looked like a team that was galvanized. This can go one of two ways in sports when something happens. Not necessarily a coach leaving, but in this case it was Lane Kiffin leaving. They looked like a galvanized, motivated team. Was that the case, or was it just they were playing Tulane?
I think it had a lot to do with the opponent, but yeah. Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, early in that game, Dave, he did find a rhythm, and he's the kind of quarterback where if you can get him some early throws in the first half, you know, he has shown to be a really, really good passer from the pocket. That first matchup this season against Georgia, Ole Miss scored on its first five offensive possessions, all touchdowns. And if it was not for 2-3 and outs in the fourth quarter, they likely would have beaten Georgia on the road in Athens. So still a very good matchup. I think Ole Miss did not look a whole lot different than I thought it would last week without Lane Kiffin. So if I'm a Rebels fan, I feel pretty good, you know, going into Louisiana and New Orleans and playing the Dogs.
Real quick, what did you make of that, Lane leaving? Are you one that's like, I get it. Like, yeah, you know, Ole Miss, great story. He's doing a great job there. But LSU is a premier program. You're like, come on. Timing is everything. He should have stayed at Ole Miss. Where are you at?
I think he should have stayed at Ole Miss, but I also don't know what's going on in the mind of, you know, Lane Kiffin. And maybe he thinks LSU, man, is a program where he can get to the playoff much faster and then win a championship. He obviously is not confident that can happen at Ole Miss. I think he could have done it in this NIL and, you know, revenue sharing dominated era. He has shown the last couple cycles that he can pretty much change his roster annually and still get there. He has 4 11 win seasons at Ole Miss, but Lane Kiffin wants to be in the spotlight. Lane Kiffin's all about some Lane Kiffin, and now he's at LSU.
Brad Crawford from CBS Sports joining us here on The Fan to talk all things college football. I want to stick with Lane and ask you this. We saw a lot of kind of headline names at the quarterback position hop into the portal. Who do you have you heard anything about a guy that Lane may be really interested in to start his campaign down there in Baton Rouge at the most important position?
Yeah, two guys I've heard are, you know, Florida's DJ Lagway and then, of course, his former quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss. I think Trinidad Chambliss is going to leave the Rebels here in a couple of weeks. I think he has to maybe get a waiver from the NCAA for another year. You guys know how that goes. Players are playing 7 and 8 seasons now. They're getting all they want. So, but yeah, I think Lane Kiffin's going to sign one of these high-end guys. And obviously, if he can get Chambliss, seeing what he's done with him this season in Oxford, that would be a home run.
Brad, we had on-campus media day yesterday for Ohio State, talked to the players, talked to the coaches, and they seem highly motivated. I'm curious to get your take on this. It sounds like a little bit of spin doctoring coming from Columbus, Ohio, but coming off the national championship and having everybody this year tell them how great they were the entire year, beat Texas, Julian Sand, Heisman, front runner at one point, 12-0. The Indiana loss, in my opinion, might have woke them up. It could be a good thing in the long run, or that could be spin doctoring. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it stung a little bit. I was somewhat surprised that Ohio State lost that game. But obviously, Dave, you know, the Buckeyes had several opportunities in the red zone and just couldn't get it done. Had the missed field goal, had the 4th-and-1 stop where it was just a kind of a bad play call there. And I really think that Ohio State is itching to get another crack at the Hoosiers. Now, whether both, you know, teams win their next two games and get there on January 19th in Miami, who knows? But this has been a team that since August I picked to repeat, and they've shown me nothing, even with the loss to Indiana, that, you know, bears me changing that pick.
Let's take a trip up to Ann Arbor and get your thoughts on who you think would be the right fit for Michigan.
Yeah, I think the right fit was probably 4 or 5 coaches ago, man. this is a situation where They're not going to luck up like a Penn State did against Matt Campbell. I mean, Matt Campbell was behind door number 7 when he should have been maybe the second call Penn State had. I think Penn State hit a home run with Matt Campbell. But for Michigan, I mean, if you hire Jeff Brohm or Jed Frisch from Washington, are either of those two names really going to move the needle? I don't think so. And Kalen DeBoer has at least said publicly that, you know, he has not had conversations with Michigan. And then after Bama's win over Oklahoma, I think a lot of that stuff has quieted down. So if I'm Michigan, you know, maybe I do hire Jeff Brohm, but whoever does take that job, there's going to be two or three seasons of a, you know, once again, a dark cloud over that program.
Yeah, and I don't think they should do this, but I've heard some people opine, just make Biff Poggi like the bridge year. Just, you know, make him interim head coach for a year. I wouldn't do that. What about you?
I mean, Biff said Monday, Dave, that, you know, it's been sort of athletic department-wide errors the last four or five seasons. Well, Biff's been there the last 3 years, so he's been a part of that.
Right.
So I don't know if he was kind of giving himself a rave review as far as, you know, who Walt Emanuel is going to pick here in a few days.
Go ahead. I was going to say, yeah, he said the players feel like, devastated and disrespected. It's like, yes, of course they do. And like Jed Fish, even though he was not there when all the scandals happened, I've heard that he's not going to be considered because he worked at Michigan for a couple years under Harbaugh, and they want to make sure there's no ties to Harbaugh when they hire this next coach. But Biff Poggi has ties to Harbaugh.
I think it's a good idea to clean house, hire somebody whose tentacles have not touched Ann Arbor, and, you know, just start anew.
Kind of a two-parter here on Belichick. What you thought of him in year one and just the program, but also this hire of Bobby Petrino that he just made as his offensive coordinator.
I'm stunned that he would hire a guy with, you know, this kind of background at a program that's already been made a mockery of nationally. It's kind of head scratching to me. You know, it came out about an hour ago that they're going to retain / re-sign Gio Lopez at quarterback. I didn't think he was a difference maker. And to be honest, I'm surprised that we're not talking about the Tar Heels playing in a bowl game this month, because they had the ACC's easiest schedule and still somehow managed to go 4-8 this season. So I don't think the Bill Belichick hire was a smart one. I think all the off the field distractions, at least from the big UNC boosters I've spoken to, it's been kind of an embarrassment. And, you know, I don't foresee him being the coach past, say, 2026.
We'll get you out of here on this one. It's been, you know, kind of wild to see Indiana build what they've been building over the last couple of years. I want to ask you about Vandy. Do you think what they've started with Pavia and their head coach down there, that's going to be sustainable? They made a big splash at the quarterback position, I think stealing a recruit from Georgia. But what are your thoughts on Vandy really being maybe a force now for years to come in the SEC?
Yeah, I think as long as the Commodores can keep Clark Lee in tow at coach and have a difference maker at quarterback, they're not going to win 10 games a year, obviously, like happened this fall. But I could see Vanderbilt being a 7-5, 8-win team the next 3 to 5 seasons and really being a thorn in the side of some of these elite programs. I don't see it happening annually, but if you've got the coach and the quarterback, man, you can do a lot in this revenue-sharing era.
How about Barton Simmons? He's now a trailblazer, I think, for people. Like, I think South Carolina should hire Brad Crawford as their GM.
Oh, man. Hopefully CBS can get more money than that.
Oh, man. Good stuff. He's Brad Crawford. Does an awesome job covering college football at CBS Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter or X at BeastCrawford247. Happy holidays again, my man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Good to hear from y'all, man.
You too. Brad joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit the finish line of the show next. We'll tell the truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
A attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekday starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Picture it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, welcome back in. The Fan warm-up show coming up at the top of the hour. Brandon Beam will get you ready for Buckeye basketball against Grambling. Ron Stokes will join at 1:05. TLC, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up in truth today?
Also, for promotional purposes, tomorrow, full three-hour show. We won't be here, but we got the full three-hour best of. If you miss it, it'll be in your podcast feed, I'm sure.
Yep.
And then on Christmas Day, we will have a 30-minute best of show because NFL coverage begins at 12:30. So we'll have a ton of fun. We pre-tape some stuff. There will be some exclusive content never before heard. There'll be a lot of stuff just replaying some of our favorite segments throughout the year. Dave, you make an appearance. You, me, and Rothman did a Seinfeld's Hottest Girlfriend segment one time.
Oh, yeah.
That made the cut. All of us will be there.
And that list, that's a long list. You forget how many girlfriends he had in that show. There was like 50.
Yeah, I think it was a top 50. I think that whatever website we were looking at did a top 50.
When will the drop draft air? On which
best of draft
show?
Will be...
Is that tomorrow?
That will be tomorrow in the 2 o'clock
okay.
hour.
Yeah, that's fun. Had a good time doing that because this guy drops.
I think at 2:30.
Like no other. He does a great job doing that. So that was awesome, cooking up our top five drops. And I'm sure, like you mentioned, there's a lot of good stuff in there as well. I got to listen to that Seinfeld girlfriend draft. I've never really watched the show, but I just want to hear it because I know that's probably great stuff.
Terry Hatcher.
That was your number one.
Real and spectacular.
That's your one. That's your 1-1 on the board.
That's
over there?
1-1 on the
okay.
board.
All right, cool. All right, what do you got today?
Here's a coach telling some huge truths.
The way we do playoffs in college football is messed up, right? I mean, in my opinion, we're really excited to be going to the Orange Bowl, but this game should be played at Texas Tech, right? They're the higher seeded team. We should play a week, like right after the last game. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday, and a championship game. But we're trying to fit a lot of things in different sequence. But in my opinion, this game should be played at Tech. There should be a home field advantage for them. But I know their fans will travel, our fans will travel, and we're really excited to be playing in the Orange Bowl.
Well, you don't sound that excited, Dan Lanning, but I appreciate that he basically said, yeah, we should be playing a true road game in this one.
Yeah. I really enjoyed last weekend. Just the juice you get in the stadium for these games. I mean, Kyle Field was absolutely rocking, as it always is. But I would not be mad at that at all. I don't think they were ever going to do that. I don't think they'll ever do that. But also, the other part of this, too, is it's tough for fans to move and groove at this time of year when this holiday season and these ticket prices are through the roof for some of these games and getting on an airplane and doing all that. If you're a family, like, it's a high, high price to get on the move to watch your team. But, yeah, I can rock with what Dan Lanning was saying right there.
Works in the NFL pretty well, you know. You have one neutral site game in the postseason. Yeah. We all know that. And listen, I know it's not going to happen, but I would love to see that. I would love to see quarterfinal games on campus. Why won't it happen? Because college football is trying to have its cake and eat it, too. They want to keep expanding the playoff while holding on by a thread to the bowl traditions. So that's why, you know, the quarterfinal sites are going to be at these traditional bowls. But I would love that. I would love first round. Even if they go to 16, I would love first round games, which that will be the case. First round games will be on campus. I would love quarterfinal games on campus. Mm-hmm. Credit to Dan Lanning for saying that.
Would you want to stop it after the quarterfinals?
If it was up to me, I would just do it like the NFL does, but they're never going to do that, right. I don't think.
I got you.
So some arguments that have been seeing on the internet, some people have been saying that it's like unfair to the teams that get the byes. It's like, oh, well, so all the teams beneath them get home games, but they don't get home games? And it's like, well, they do get some advantage of having a bye. Although... I think it's debatable whether or not that's an advantage, to be honest with you, to have 3 weeks off.
Well, we're going to find out, because last year the teams that got the bye did not come out looking great.
Right.
They all lost. Round of the playoff. Yeah.
Yeah, so it could be the exact opposite this year. It's such a small sample size,
right,
you know?
Right.
And they will never, ever do this, even though it will 100% be the best thing for sports. It'll be the best thing for each team. It'll be the best thing for TV. Live feed goes straight to all the watch parties. Whoever you announce as the number one seed, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ryan Day, you're on the microphone. Do you want the bye or not?
Mm-hmm.
All right, whoever's number two. Ohio State took the bye. Whoever's number two, do you want the bye or not? One by one. And if anybody wants to keep playing because they think that sitting around and practicing for three straight weeks isn't conducive to winning, then go ahead. Then you can get a home game. I think you get everybody on and you make them and you allow them to pick where they want to be. And that'll be excellent television. And you know what? If they take the bye and then they lose, then
it's on them.
There's no one to argue about.
There's nothing to argue about.
They lost.
You talk about entertainment, that definitely moves the needle. To your point, though, at the beginning, they're not going to do that. But I would love it. I'd have my popcorn ready for sure to watch that.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, that would be perfect to have, like, you know, the first two rounds at home. Because I think it's inevitable. It won't be this next year.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. They're going to expand to 14 or 16. And by 14 or 16, I mean 16.
Yeah.
Follow the money. So I would love to see when they expand to 16, first two rounds at home, but probably won't happen.
Tell the truth. Was last night's performance by Phillip Rivers a farce or legit?
Mm. I thought it was legit because, like, some of those throws, while didn't have a lot of, like,
zip on
velocity on it, were, like, pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he kind of had a couple throws to Pierce that were, like, he couldn't have, like, handed it too many better.
Yeah.
Our guy Josh Downs, you know, he threw some nice balls out. He also threw some
Josh Downs looked awesome.
Heck yeah. Downs to business.
Yep.
He was a dude at North Carolina, man. That dude was electric at North Carolina. So I like their playmaking core. Like, I really do. I think they've been held back a little bit the last couple of years just because the Anthony Richardson thing obviously didn't work out. But you look at Pittman, Downs, Pierce, Warren, and Jonathan Taylor. I mean, that's a very sneaky playmaking core that they got going on there. I think it's pretty legit. You talk about the arm talent, maybe that fading away as it should. The dude's a freaking grandpa. He shouldn't be having a whole bunch of zip on the ball. But what he's got right now is the mental part of it, where the game, I'm sure, is kind of still slow for him and reading defenses, and timing is still there. So he knows, maybe now I got to pull the trigger a little sooner to get the ball where it needs to go. So I think it's legit. He clearly knocked the rust off, and it was fun to watch him do his thing last night, even though they lost.
Everybody in their 40s like me was like, yeah, win one for the old guys. Yeah, win one for the old guys. Just don't embarrass us. Way to go, us 40-somethings.
And I saw a funny tweet about that, where you were talking about how the game was slow for him because he can still see everything. Somebody named Ebo Knows says, for the good of the sport, we need our top football scientists to figure out how to get Phillip Rivers' brain in Anthony Richardson's body.
Because if that happens, then you're on to something. Because that dude, man, you watched him at Florida. I know it was the smallest of small sample size, but just as far as making a quarterback in the lab and the skill set, it's kind of what you want. The dude could throw it into the next state, and he could run like a 4.4 40, but he just didn't have the touch, and the game just seemed too fast for him. So I still think they'll keep him around because we just see team. You don't give up on that talent at this age, but he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think he owes Josh Allen a debt of gratitude because prior to that, people are like, you're not going to take a guy in court that had like a 50-some percent completion percentage when he was in college. That's not going to translate to the NFL. And then Josh Allen said, yeah, can.
Take this.
And then I heard a lot of people compare Anthony Richardson to Josh Allen. So I do wonder if he would have been taken that high if not for Josh Allen. But, hey, the Colts, it's been one thing after another since Andrew Luck retired. I thought Daniel Jones was going to be like their long-term solution. Now he blows out his Achilles. Brutal. Who knows?
And the YouTube chat says Theo Huxtable for you.
Theo
From
Huxtable.
The Cosby Show?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's pretty good.
They nailed it.
I think that's good.
Didn't he just pass away?
Yes. Well, that part's not good.
When, not the dead Theo.
Okay.
Alive Theo.
Let's lock that in. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Bid, shout out to you for filling in for this marathon of a show.
Yeah, I don't know how we got through it. Thank you,
Matt. TLC, great job, man. We're going to hand this thing off to now Brandon Beam for the Fan Warm-Up Show. He'll get you ready for Buckeye basketball. Happy holidays. Talk to you on Friday. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
A metal soup.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.